in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Yes, indeedy. Free expression, the marketplace of ideas. That's what we're about here on Spouting Off on 1590 AM WSMN. So proud and pleased to be back home after doing lots of radio elsewhere. It's always a pleasure to be back in the saddle and spouting off. I heard the news, as I love doing before I get on the radio. And did you hear that little news piece about criminals being rearrested again and again and again because there's no bail, no cash bail, no bail at all? Criminals get out within hours of being arrested for crimes against innocent citizens. All I can say about that, just like I sound like Forrest Gump, they have so much contempt for everyday Americans, don't they? They show it every single day. Tell me what about this story that you can steal up to $950 in San Francisco and not be charged, that you can commit felonies, crimes of serious nature against law-abiding citizens and be out the same day. The same people who are champions of criminals want to defund the police, want to charge and arrest people for being concerned about their children and the education they're getting, calling them terrorists. I could go on, but you know where I'm going with this. What about any of this does not show in bright, bold colors that these people have an enormous amount of contempt for everyday Americans? I ask you. You can call me and tell me where I'm wrong. One of my favorite commentators, oh gosh, what's his name? Louder with Crowder. Haven't heard him, what he does lately, but he is famous for saying, change my mind. Steven Crowder, change my mind. What about this does not show and prove that they have an enormous amount of contempt for Americans? 603-816-1590 in this first segment. You are more than welcome to call in, to pontificate, to participate. You tell me, where am I wrong? Meanwhile, I'm going to keep spouting off. I love this very conservative, unabashedly conservative replacement for the Gone Woke Drudge Report. A lot of people think Matt Drudge sold out probably at the point of an ideological gun, that he was going to be done whether he wanted to or not. And he was probably, this is all conjecture on my part, probably told he had to keep his mouth shut about it when he sold his website, The Drudge Report. Oh, but The Drudge Report is still out there putting out leftist woke poison and calling itself The Drudge Report. I don't look at it anymore. I don't know about you. But one that is a great replacement is called, and I'm not getting paid for this free advertisement, the LibertyDaily.com. It's among several great pages that have replaced The Drudge Report, which used to be the place to go for conservative ideas and a news aggregator. But, you know, now we're finding out the lines that are being drawn have more to do with principles, honesty, integrity, and less to do with left versus right. Certainly black versus white or conservative versus liberal, because a lot of people who call themselves conservatives ain't. A lot of people are colluding with radical progressive leftists today. It's like a Scrabble, and everything has been scrambled. And now, just like I've had conversations with friends of mine, they said, you know what? More and more, anymore, I evaluate people based individually on their principles and ideas and what they stand for, what they're willing to stand up for, than whether they have an R or a D after their name. Because, well, Democrats who are part of the woke cult, you can tell them pretty quickly. And yes, it is important to evaluate, to be discerning about your friends, about who you talk to these days. And isn't it interesting that the secondary gain and all of this collectivist nonsense that the left is trying to push down our throats is that we, who still believe in the Constitution, traditional values, individual liberty, being judged by the content of your character and not the content, the color of your skin, et cetera, we have been charged with the responsibility of evaluating the trustworthiness of people based on individualism, their individual character, on what they do rather than what they say, more than ever before. So isn't that interesting? Another backfire of the left. I've been wanting to write a piece about the backfires of the left, how among the most supreme backfires has been that when they kept kids home from school for an entire year and made them learn online, and they didn't learn much at all, it turns out, that interested parents were finding out what their kids were being taught. That's not something the left probably wanted to get out there. In fact, I've seen cases where where teachers have actually told their kids, their students, don't tell your parents what we're learning here. I mean, that's evil. That sounds an awful lot like, I'm not calling them child molesters, although what they are doing to kids is abusive. When an abusive adult wants to do something he should not do that is evil to do to an innocent child, he tells them to be quiet. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell your parents what we're doing. Whenever an adult tells a kid, don't tell your parents what we are doing, one should be deeply and profoundly suspicious. And guess what? Those parents were. They were very suspicious. And what do they get for their trouble? They get called domestic terrorists by the same evil people trying to corrupt their children. Not that I have any strong opinions on that. You understand. I got started here. I do go in many directions, don't I? But there's so much here, and it's all related. I got started telling you about the Liberty Daily, and I love looking at the Liberty Daily before I get on the air, and amidst all the other show prep that I try to do to bring you an up-to-date, live, and relatively local. Anybody can call here. Anybody who's listening to WSMN.live, which is the way to listen to Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, that's not a shameless plug. That is a proud plug. 603-816-1590, that's how you listen. If you're listening on a variety of different networks, you can listen and call in. If you're listening live, 603-816-1590. Proud to say our podcasts are on after the fact. And so if you're listening to one of those, then try and tune in live and see what there is to see live. And you can always call in. I love talking to listeners. So the Liberty Daily. Yes, I'm getting there. Two beautiful, bright red news items, because this looks just like the Drudge Report, only it's better. It has a Liberty Bell, and it's called thelibertydaily.com, thelibertydaily.com. Two beautiful, welcome, good news. Oh, it just changed in front of me. just changed right in front of me, but here it is. A Florida hospital suspends vaccine mandates for its 83,000 employees. How about that? Things are going, hopefully, God willing, in the right direction. People are beginning to discover not only are the vaccines ineffective, they could and appear to be quite dangerous for various people at various times. Had there been one, there was one, I believe, incident of Tylenol being tainted with poison and people died from that Tylenol. They pulled the Tylenol off the shelves all across the country. I date myself. That was sometime in the 70s. We call it the Tylenol scare. Some horrible, despicable criminal laced Tylenol with some kind of poison, probably cyanide or whatever. People tragically, horribly died from that crime. And immediately the government called to pull every lick of Tylenol off the shelves. What is this government doing? They are discovering loads and loads. In fact, they're suppressing the problems, the injuries. Sorry, I'm at a loss for words because I got so much to say. They are suppressing deaths from these vaccines, very profoundly serious deaths. And what are they doing? They're mandating them even more. The more deaths, the more the government wants you to get one. How about that? But here's a second piece of good news. Two, count them, two of Cleveland's biggest hospitals, Cleveland systems, backtrack on the vaccine mandate. Now, I happen to know another person who's a patient advocate who was prepared to leave her job because of the vaccine mandate. Her religious exemptions were declined. She was told in order to keep her job, she had to take this experimental drug without informed consent, which is against the Nuremberg Code, and for her trouble, she would lose her job. Because of the pushback, because pushback is working, because we have a right to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, and decide for ourselves what we will and will not take into our own bodies, it's working, and hospitals are backing off. Maybe it's because they're not going to get patients if they don't have staff to take care of them. And believe me, the hospitals in this country are a mess. As long as they continue or at all pay attention to fascist Fauci and the COVID protocols, for which, if they don't do as they're told, like lemmings instead of health professionals, they won't get loads and loads and loads of money. More blackmail, more bribery. That's how the communist socialist left, global communists, get the job done. The carrot or the stick. Either you get a whole bunch of money for doing what we say, or we're going to use the stick to punish you if you don't. Nothing whatsoever about that is American, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We are a country, as you know, and I've said it ad nauseum. Sorry, gonna say it again. We're a country that is founded on the most precious principles of individual freedom. It isn't about whether masks work. It isn't. It is about vaccines, whether they work, because many people believe that they are killing people, and yet the government continues to mandate them anyway. But it's not about whether something works or doesn't work. The government doesn't have a right to mandate that you stop eating ice cream. The government doesn't have a right to mandate that you eat spinach three times a week. Doesn't matter how good it is for you. Could the government mandate if it supposedly cared about you? And they don't. That you take chemotherapy, God forbid you have cancer. No, you have a right to decide that for yourself. if you decide in favor of death, the left seems to be for you, because we're looking at a death cult here, folks. You know, as Steven Crowder says, changed my mind. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to cool off a little. When we get back, we're going to have a tremendous guest. Stay tuned. Karen Kettleen, this is Spouting Off on 1590 AM, 95.3 FM, WSMN, Nashua, New Hampshire. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Kettleen.
It's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Kettleen.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Not atypically... We are having issues with getting our next guest. We're going to find out why that happens as much as it does. But I just interviewed him. And yay, we have our guest on the line. I just interviewed him yesterday? But he hasn't been on this program, and that's what's fun. I do a lot of programs, and this one, I want to introduce you to this next gentleman. What a story he has to tell. He's president of Integrative Pediatrics. He is indeed a pediatrician. And his license was suspended by the Oregon Medical Board on December 3rd, 2020. I'll bet you you're going to want to hear this story. Dr. Paul Thomas joins us on Spouting Off, Nashua, New Hampshire. Welcome, Dr. Thomas.
Well, thank you, Karen. It's great to be with you again.
Yes, yes. Well, tell everyone about what happened to you last December 2020.
Sure. So let me preface it with the fact that I wrote the Vaccine Friendly Plan, a book that talks about a different way to do vaccines other than the CDC schedule. It's all science-based. That put the target on me. February of 2019, the medical board said, prove that your vaccine-friendly plan is as safe as the CDC schedule. So I hired an expert to come in. We pulled the charts of every patient born into my practice, got all the data, de-identified it, and published it November 23rd, 2020. And 5 days after that was available online, the Oregon Medical Board pulled my license. So that's the background to how that all happened. I'm sitting, Karen, on the most important data probably in the country when it comes to childhood vaccines. The CDC, the NIH, all the major health plans that are sitting on data, they have refused to look. They've refused to publish the data that compares unvaccinated kids to vaccinated kids. And until we do that, we won't really know what's going on. You're there in New Hampshire. I went to Dartmouth Medical School, so you're in my stomping grounds there. Back in the 1950s, the Framingham study was commissioned, Framingham, Massachusetts. About 5,000 adults were enrolled, and they just tracked their health. That's still ongoing. They're in the fourth generation of people. But because of that registry, they figured out that, lo and behold, cigarette smoking causes heart disease and cancer. Because they had a percentage of people not smoking, and they could look. We need to do the same thing for vaccines. I've done it. It's a massive, powerful data set that, of course, the article has been retracted. This is what happens when you print in a peer-reviewed journal a study that goes against the narrative that vaccines are safe and effective. They find ways to get that data discredited. So they discredit the author, and they did that by just yanking my license without charges. And then they also try to get the paper that published the article to pull it, which they did. That, however, does not invalidate the fact that we have this powerful data.
Yeah. I want to get into that, Doctor, and we have some time to do that. But first, I want you to speak to the idea that we're seeing this level of censorship in all kinds of places, and the same usual suspects who are trying to control a narrative which we continue to find out is false, is lies, is not true, has holes you could drive a truck through. They alert you to what they are most threatened by censoring it, shutting it down, and not letting it be heard. Comment on that, if you would, not only about your own data, but I'm sure you have friends and colleagues to whom the same thing is happening to. If they are close to the truth, they get threatened, shut down, and they get shut down and censored.
Oh, absolutely. It has been happening for a while, but it has reached such a pervasive level in our society now. And sadly, most people aren't even aware. So, you know, I sort of woke up to it in the last two elections when you could look at one news channel and look at another one, and it's like you were on two different planets. But when it comes to the medical information, that's my world. Everybody that's speaking the truth about vaccines, speaking the truth about natural alternatives to pharmaceutical approaches, it gets censored. I mean, we've had the government label the disinformation 12. I mean, these are the most ethical, informed group of people. They're not all doctors, but many of them are, who are trying to get the actual science out there, and they get labeled disinformation, and they're censored. Our medical societies, so the Academy of Pediatrics, the Academy of Family Practice, and the Academy of Internal Medicine, so these are the three academies that basically control primary care in America. They all issued a joint statement that doctors who spread disinformation or misinformation can lose their license. So they are putting medical boards in charge of determining what's good information and what's bad information.
They've politicized medicine.
And that's dangerous.
Medicine.
Medical boards aren't set up to do that.
Yeah, they've politicized medicine along with everything else. One more. First of all, those disinformation 12, I presume some of them are the America's frontline doctors.
Yep.
Like
yep,
Simon
absolutely.
Gold and those guys, which it was quite obvious what was going on. I hate to ask you this before we get into the information you do have, because I want to spend the bulk of the rest of our time together doing that. It might be an unfair question, but we're all asking the same question. When you see a deliberate attempt to shut down information that could save people's lives, push stuff that's dangerous, try to suppress cheap, effective treatments that could save people's lives, what do you make of why government officials, politicians, and unelected bureaucrats are doing that? Why?
Why? Yes. Well, the simple answer is conflicts of interest. It may be much deeper and sinister than that, but just looking at conflicts of interest, which anybody can relate to, we have had for decades now, and it's gotten worse over the last 10, 20 years, a revolving door between the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and pharmaceutical corporations that make vaccines, for example. And
right.
So it's incestuous, and everybody's profiting massive amounts from promoting the CDC vaccine schedule. And so, you know, when you stand to profit in the millions, either as a research scientist or as a Paul Offit who has a patent on one of the rotavirus vaccines and sits on the committee that makes recommendations to the American people of what goes on the CDC schedule, it's just obvious that we have conflicts of interest because they are going absolutely opposite to what the science says in almost every case.
Wow. That's astonishing. I mean, I ask the question all the time. All we can do is conject because I don't have, we're not privy to, there's so much that's going on that is untoward, suspicious, but wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall to find out what really is going on here and what is the motive? Let's spend the rest of our time talking about the kind of information that you said you have. People need to know that somehow, for whatever the reason, these bureaucrats and others don't want us to know. What do we need to know?
Well, what you need to know is that science is never settled, right? It's always evolving as we try to get a clearer picture of what's going on. And in 1986, when they passed the Child Immunization Act that took away liability from manufacturers of vaccines, and I don't know if people realize this, but you cannot sue anybody if you get injured from a vaccine. So since 1986, and that was right when I was coming out of medical school, and I didn't know it at the time that that had even happened, vaccine manufacturers are completely liability-free. And this is partly why they don't make the effort to make vaccines safer. They don't need to. They have, you know, they have no liability. Doctors, nurses, pharmacists, anybody who administers a vaccine is also not liable for harm that may happen. Now, in my practice, where I have over 10,000, at one point over 15,000 active patients, I see and hear the stories of vaccine injury almost every day. Wow. At other offices, if patients won't follow the CDC schedule, they get discharged and they show up at my door. And so this has put me in a unique place, probably one of the few, perhaps the only pediatrician in the United States with a massive group of unvaccinated patients. I've got hundreds and hundreds, close to 1,000 unvaccinated patients in my practice. I've got thousands of partially vaccinated patients and thousands of fully vaccinated patients. So I get to see something that nobody else sees. And what that is that the unvaccinated are incredibly healthy. They just don't get sick. If you don't get sick, you're not going to make anybody else sick. And so this narrative that, oh, these unvaccinated people are putting us in danger is absolutely backwards. It's the unvaccinated who don't get sick, almost never get sick, who are keeping you safe. And if you're vaccinated and you believe that your vaccine helps you protect you from infection, then what do you have to worry about?
Exactly.
So the narrative is
my dear old dad would say, bass ackwards.
Exactly.
You know, if you believe the vaccine is protecting you, why are you feeling threatened by people who are unvaccinated? It's preposterous on its face.
Yeah, absolutely, Karen. And so I think the reason the system is nervous about me and the reason they clearly are targeting me is that I do have the data. I have the data that the CDC should have had. They do have it. They just won't look at it, or if they've looked, they won't publish it. There are millions and millions of unvaccinated people in this country. It's not a ton. There's about there was a really great study done called the Control Group, and it was a survey that got unvaccinated individuals in 48 of the 50 states and looked at all their major health outcomes. And I talk about that study when I go around the country speaking of my own, because there are a few other studies that compare vax to unvax. They're all showing the same thing. But only 0.25% of the United States is completely untouched by a vaccine. That is the pure control group. And it is so important that you compare the control group to what's going on to the intervention group. Well, the intervention group is those of us who've gotten vaccines. And when you control, when you look at the outcomes, oh my Lord, the control group doesn't have heart disease, doesn't have diabetes, doesn't have cancer, doesn't have ADD or ADHD. It's like at all, almost zero. And you're thinking, how could that be? And I don't want people to think that I'm anti-vaccine or that vaccines are the only problem. Folks, we have a lot of problems in our toxic world and toxic environment. But this vaccine issue needs to be looked at properly with a control group. That's what I did. That's what I'm doing. That's what they don't want done, and that's why they're trying to shut me down. So, yeah, what I've been facing more recently since they pulled my license mid-year, my attorney was able to get me back in my office by kind of twisting my arm to agree to some conditions that I don't agree with. But basically, I'm not allowed to talk about vaccines with my patients. I'm not allowed to see well kids because that's where you would have that conversation. And I'm not allowed to do research on patients, which is bizarre. Why would a medical board
It's bizarre for them to force you to take away your First Amendment rights, isn't it?
That's
what it feels
like.
For them to tell you what you can and cannot say. You're a professional.
Right. It feels, frankly, it feels illegal. So that's the backdrop of this year. And then right before Thanksgiving, I got a 20-page document. Mind you, they pulled my license December 3rd of last year, so it's been a little over a year. And then just before this Thanksgiving, I get this 20-page document of all these, quote, charges that I can't – I've also have a gag order on me, so I can't tell you specifically what they are. But basically, it boils down to nonsense charges about somehow I am by the fact that I have my book out there, by the fact that there's literature in my office, information, my study, for example, that I'm coercing people to not do the CDC schedule, therefore I'm putting people in harm's way. That's their basic complaint almost across the board. And for each complaint, they want to charge $10,000. They've got over 100 of them. So you can add it up.
Do you know the charges against you? Isn't that among the many laws, our precious Bill of Rights, that you have a right to know what you've been accused of?
Well, with medical boards, you are not allowed to know who your accuser is. Hmm. And so what it appears is that it's just the medical board making stuff up. But there's no way for me to know, because that's the way the system is set up. You can complain. Anybody can complain to a medical board and remain anonymous. And I have knowledge that there are physicians in the community who are just doing whatever they can to get me.
Acting like spies, they've been bought.
There are physicians working on the medical board who are scouring my internet things, because I have a YouTube channel with 1.5 million subscribers. I have a new show, Against the Wind, Doctors and Science Under Fire, that people can see at doctorsandscience.com. And they're actually watching that and making complaints based on things they're seeing.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's rather a bizarre situation. What I've done, though, is I've started a GiveSendGo program, DrPaulsFight.com. This is really not my fight, but it's our fight. I stand in the line for informed consent so parents can have the right to decide what they do for their children. And so I've got a raise. My attorney says it's going to be at least $250,000 just to get through the trial next month. With all the fines and the lawyer fees and all of that.
You hear that music. Could you say that one more time for us?
DrPaulsFight.com.
DrPaulsFight.com. Dr. Paul Thomas, we need more principled people with integrity like you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
When
Karen.
We come back, we will have another great guest. Stay tuned. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off on WSMN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here on WSMN, 1590 AM and 95.3 FM, Nashua, New Hampshire. I got a lot to do here. First, I just want to tell you about MyPillow. Mike Lindell's pillows actually do stay cool. If you get hot in the middle of the night, you don't have to flip it to the cool side. It stays healthy for a full 10 years. Stays, and you can actually wash them and dry them, stick them in the washer, stick them in the dryer, and it's warranted not to go flat. And you can, Mike Lindell personally guarantees it's going to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Right now, you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for the classic standard pillow. Is regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 by using the promo code RAM, R-A-M. They also have the queen size pillow, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98. Think about that for Christmas. And the king size pillow, $89.98 is its usual price. And now it's only $29.98. You can go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-867-0416. That's 1-800-867-0416. Use the promo code RAM. One more thing. Mike Lindell has over 200 items. Itemins. Is that like a cross between items and vitamins? I don't know. I just made up a new word. 200 items, and Christmas is, it's December, so you can do your shopping over there at MyPillow.com or call 1-800-867-0416. Well, do we have our second guest, Mr. Producer Art? I am waiting to see.
Oh, I'm waiting too. I think she's calling us, and I'm trying to be in communication with our executive producer to see if I can get a number for her.
All right. We always have these little bumps and grinds around here. It's getting to be somewhat comical. Not sure why it is, but we'll keep working on it. It just lets you know we are live and local talk radio, the real deal. You could, if you are calling, could call in 603-816-1590. I don't know if we have a second phone line for you, but I kind of think we do. I'm going to go back to an awful lot of show prep that I have always in my back pocket for such occasions as this. If our guest calls in, we will cut right to her, just being totally transparent with you. So I just love this. I was in the middle of telling you how in the first segment, the hospitals are starting to ease up and even reverse some of their mandates, which can only mean that the pushback is working. The courts continue to rule against Biden and the whomevers. That's the whomevers. Because if you've watched Joe Biden lately, you know he's not making policy. Anybody who thinks Joe Biden, the presidential potted plant, is making policy, he can't even find his way out of the bathroom of the White House. He can't speak clearly. His brain seems close to gone. And this is not a big secret. This is the worst kept secret in the world. My theory is that these same whomevers that have been pulling the strings, that are really in charge of the so-called Biden administration, almost want us to know how incompetent and what a fool this, you know, former political hack, when he did have his brain, he was a political hack. He was a lying plagiarist many years ago. I date myself. Many people thought that when he was caught at plagiarism sometime in, I guess, the 70s, that his career was over. No, in the swamp, that puts you right to the front of the line. That means you are hot, hot, hot property to get appointed to run on a Democrat ticket and to be vice president. If you can be bought, if you're doing business with the Chinese and the Russians and who knows whom else, if you're as crooked as a corkscrew, corrupt as they come, a plagiarist, a liar, a cheater, a fraud, selling out the American people, that gets you to the top of the line. And here's the thing. More than 70% of Americans are now being told that vaccine shots for full protection, that they're going to have to keep getting booster after booster after booster after booster after booster. How about that? It's shots, shots, more shots. You got to keep taking shots because nothing you do is going to stop you from being injected, and we don't know why. Not one death from the so-called variant for which there is no test. Omicron. There is no death. Have they reported one death from the Omicron variant? Do you know? Guess what? I have not heard it. They say there are so many cases of the Omicron variant, which is now mixing with the dreaded common cold, and no deaths. But are there deaths reported from the vaccine itself? You better believe there is. Do they care? You better believe they don't. Thousands of deaths from the shots themselves, but they're doing all they can to suppress that information, making it too darn difficult for health professionals who are now being bullied and intimidated into ignoring everything they were trained to do, and that is to preserve life. They're making it deadly difficult, that's no pun, to report vaccine injuries and deaths. And yet, believe it or not, some people still don't get it. This is, I don't mind telling you, astonishing to me. Yes, I don't know when it was, when I was on the air breaking news, the overt communist, and hasn't he left yet? Bill de Blasio, when is this guy leaving? Has already made a mandate for COVID-19 vaccines for the private sector workers. Not only is this likely unconstitutional, but it seems like the deadlier the treatment, the more things are harmful, starting with rags on your face that prevent you from breathing, breathing your own carbon dioxide, children not being able to see visual cues, infants losing their ability to socialize, and infants not being able to see. This is heartbreaking. Adults smile so that they can smile too. Imagine, if you will, an infant. And this is how infants learn. They look at their mothers and teachers and whatever faces. If they see faces that are all collectively the same with masks on their face, not only they get scared because they don't know what to think, but they can't see smiles. Children are being, their developmental milestones are being prohibited and hindered by this sort of thing. And it only gets worse. So you comply with a rag on your face, even if you don't like it, even if you don't agree, even if, and then you're told, you're going to have to take a shot to appease us. And some people did so. And then they said, you got to take a second shot, a booster, because that is what constitutes, quote, fully vaccinated. Then you'll be able to get back to your life. Then you'll be able to be acceptable in our eyes. And guess what? They move the goalposts again. And now you have to have a third shot and a fourth shot. With every variant, more shots. I have heard that the formerly free country of Australia, seeming to be in competition for among the most tyrannical regime, suddenly in these dark days that we are living in, ordered 14 shots per person for its citizens. 14 shots. In light of what we just heard from this doctor that has sustained personal injury, where are the personal injury attorneys when you need them? The healthiest people are the unvaccinated people. And yet these bureaucrats and unelected bureaucrats and politicians have been marching in lockstep in order to force a vaccine that is neither safe nor effective and apparently can be deadly to certain folks. How about that? Now, here's a story for you, which is all a part of that. I read a story. I'm looking for it here now. It looks like we are going to be sans our guest. But I heard a story. Let me see if I can find it here for you. An Italian man, Fox News reported this, an Italian man tried to use a fake arm to avoid COVID vaccine. Can you believe that? An Italian man was reported to the police for fraud after allegedly trying to pass off a silicone mold as his arm so he could get a vaccination card without actually getting a shot. Can you believe how desperate people are not to get the shot, but yet they are being threatened, bullied, intimidated with their jobs if they don't do as the government tells them to do? This is an outrage, people. This is an outrage. No more does the left believe in my body, my choice. No more, never did believe in body autonomy, which we heard in that oral argument of the abortion case last week. I wrote all about it at my website at KarenCataline.com. Go there, read that, because this was astonishing to me. With a straight face, these leftists are claiming that they believe in body autonomy for women, but only as it relates to abortion. No other body autonomy do they believe in. And isn't it interesting? The left goes crazy and suddenly they have righteous, not all of them, but a good many of them. The people in the leftist cult, mind you. What righteous indignation do they have when it comes to death and the death cult? The only exceptions that they make for privacy, for individual choice, individual freedom, my body, my choice, body autonomy, is when it has to do with choosing death over life. How about that? Can you believe, did you ever think we would be living in such times? It's astonishing. I know. I use that word a lot because I'm regularly astonished, I tell you. And it leads me to just tell you the name of this article that I wrote, and you can go there at KarenCataline.com. Just know how to spell my last name, and you can see more stuff about me than you ever want to know. KarenCataline.com, last name spelled KATALINE. So I write about abortion and the hearing from last week. Pro-choicers, here's the title. You can look at it on the front page under articles and op-eds. I'm fortunate and blessed that a lot of people pick it up for other sites. But this is the home of at least the stuff I write. I'm starting to be interested in posting a few of other people's pieces as well, and I will be doing that. Pro-choicers are Jekyll and Hyde about body autonomy. They're like Jekyll and Hyde. Well, they regularly and rather bizarrely call abortion health care, I write. They deny health care freedom and body autonomy for everyone else, women too. From abortion to euthanasia, the rare exceptions are always, they always err on the side of death for the innocent and preservation of life for the guilty. Think about that. You can predict what the left is going to be for and what they're going to be against. Now, I'm raising my hand right now, people. I'm raising my hand to let you know that I came very late to the pro-choice movement. Excuse me, pro-life movement. I never liked abortion. I'm a social worker, but I did not think, and parts of me still doesn't think, that this is the purview of the government at all. It most certainly isn't the purview of the federal government, but that's what this latest case is about states' rights. Before Roe v. Wade, states had that jurisdiction. Now they took it out of the jurisdiction of the states and made it a federal law that abortion should be legal. The left loves central planning. They hate local control on just about everything. But I came late to the pro-life movement because I considered it a libertarian issue. You know, I didn't want the government forcing women to make that kind of decision. But then I had a change of heart right around the time that the despicable governor of Virginia thought it was perfectly okay to leave a baby on a table and let him die after birth if a woman didn't want to keep him. How about that? New York City was celebrating with all kinds of lit up Empire State Building because there were no, absolutely no restrictions on abortion. And so they lied once again. They lied. Remember Beto O'Rourke, who said, we're not going to take, he's the one who let you know, of course they're going to take your guns. They used to say abortion should be rare and that abortion is nothing to celebrate. Now they're celebrating abortion because, I'm sorry, this cult is celebrating death rather than life. This cult of the radical left, socialist, communist, globalists are celebrating death, not life. Of course they're going to be for abortion. This is not a group that you should put in charge of life or death issues on any front. On any front. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why I became pro-life. I've always been pro-life. Now I'm out of the closet. Anyway, I could say more. We have to go. What a quick hour. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off every Tuesday, Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Soon I'll have an announcement about the Friday edition. Right now it's 1 at 2 p.m. We're moving it to 1 p.m. So Spouting Off, thank you everyone, George, Juan, and Art, for joining us here on Spouting Off. See you Thursday at 1 p.m. I am out of here.